Love us or hate us, we want to know what's on your mind. Drop us a line on our comment line. You don't even have to talk to a real human. Call 333-2009, the 24/7 comment line.
Welcome back to Best of the Berg. Mary White, along with Anthony Biscuit McAvoy, rolling through another episode of Best of the Berg. And we're so pleased to once again have...
Partnering for Good, brought to you by Bank of the James. Learn more at bankofthejames.bank.
And Jimmy Davis is here with Bank of the James. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello, Mary.
I didn't get the...
What do you call me? The bestie something?
You're not my guestie bestie. Today.
You're our guestie bestie every day.
Okay, well, thank you. I was a little disappointed not to have that intro, but that's fine.
I did bring some, it's obviously not fine, but I did bring some granola bars.
I did see those.
Because I knew you were going to be here today.
Thank you. Very kind. Thank you. What's up, Biscuit?
What's up, Jimmy?
Same old.
You have, we have a special guest. You want to introduce Faith?
Yeah, Faith Nixon is with Red Truck Ministry, local organization, which she'll tell you more about, but the bank supports them, and I met with her, what, it was just 3 or 4 weeks ago, and their story's great, so I wanted to make sure that we could tell it.
Very good. Faith, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Red Truck Ministry.
Okay, Red Truck Ministry is a mobile food pantry. Okay. So we have a big red truck, so it's a retired Coca-Cola truck, and we fill it with food, dry goods, canned goods, produce, meat, and we service what is defined as food deserts. There are 8 defined food deserts in Lynchburg City and surrounding the area. We currently go to 6 sites that service 4 of the 8 food deserts. We will expand to one additional site next year. And the ultimate goal is to be able to service all 8 of those food deserts. That is our goal within the next 3 years.
And what's the definition of a food desert?
So the definition, according to USDA, for a food desert is a census tract that is low income and also has limited availability to healthy food.
So if it's like near a Dollar General or something, that doesn't count. You're talking about being...
So it has to be a grocery store, a food market of some sort that is more than a mile away.
Okay.
And you think, a mile, well, that's pretty close. Well, if you don't have transportation, if you have 2 small children, and if you were to try to use public transportation... go to a grocery store and get your groceries for, even a couple of days. I used to hate taking my kids to the grocery store. I can't imagine taking my kids on a bus and sometimes a couple of buses to get to a grocery store and then transporting all that back.
Taking all the stuff back.
Yeah.
So you all started in 2017, and tell us how your mission has kind of grown and changed since then.
Okay, so yes. So we started in 2017. There were a group of 8 pastors that had gotten together and actually had prayed for several years before that on how they could provide for our community. And the report came out defining food deserts, and they were made aware of, hey, we have 8 of these defined areas in Lynchburg City. So they received the donated Coca-Cola truck, and they started up in 2017. I think that first year they serviced 4,000 people. This year, so far, we have serviced 10,237 people. My guess is by the end of 2024, it will be about 13,000, which is similar to what we did last year. Last year was a 40% increase. So you've got to remember, think about the cost of food. Right, has just skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. We have all felt that. Well, for you or me, going to the grocery store, yeah, we might complain about it and grumble about it. But when you have a very limited income and the cost of groceries goes up, you know, 50%, whatever the percentage is, that is a real hardship. Mm-hmm. So that kind of impacted us in two ways. One, we saw the increase in clientele that came to visit us for support, but also the cost of the food that we are getting to provide to them went up. So we were impacted two ways by that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this year so far, we have serviced 10,237 people. So we have grown quite a bit, which is a good thing, but also not a good thing. So
tell us more about your red truck before we get into more of the logistics of how you're helping people, because Biscuit was fascinated. The red trucks are really all the rage right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, ours is not the really sweet, cute picture of a red truck that you see, you know.
The one my mom's obsessed with.
Probably not. Yeah. No, probably not.
It's not your matchbox cars either, Biscuit. Okay.
No. However, we do use that in our logo. But the actual red truck itself, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have seen it and wonder, well, what is that? It is actually a retired Coca-Cola truck that has the slide-up doors on the sides. And then we have crates of food that are in the sides of that truck. And then our clients will come to us. They will provide us their name and address because they're allowed to come to one of our distribution sites a week, right? So they can't come to every distribution site every day of the week. So they can come once a week, and they will tell us, you know, their household is one person or it's four people, and depending on the size of their household will determine how much food that they are allowed to get. And then they go through and they pick out, you know, green beans, mac and cheese, cereal, you know, meat. We provide ground beef because that is the most versatile meat people can do the most with. So interesting, and y'all tell me if I'm getting off here.
No, not at all.
But so the meat that we provide, there are local ranchers that will donate cattle, and then we in turn take that cattle to a slaughterhouse. We have several slaughterhouses in the area that help us, and they process that cow and package it in and vacuum seal packages, 1 pound packages of ground beef. And that, so it's a very high quality protein that we're able to provide our clients. And if, you know, sometimes we have to supplement, we don't get enough donated beef, we will actually go to the stockyard and purchase a cow or a couple of cows and take them to the slaughterhouse and get it packaged.
How much does a cow cost? I bet that's expensive, isn't it?
Well, so, of course, we don't pay the premium price. You know, we are the folks that we have go to the stockyard will, you know, they go through and they try to find the cows that will provide the biggest bang for your buck, so to speak. And we have a limit on how much that we can that we are allowed to spend.
Yeah. Well, don't get anybody in trouble.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
It's never occurred to me that one can go out and just buy a cow. You can.
Yeah, and it's a whole lot cheaper than going to, you know, a store and buying that.
Yeah.
And, you know, before that, we were limited in what was donated to us from local stores, right? And then the stores were providing us like these huge packages of, for instance, chicken legs. You have like 20 chicken legs in a package. Well, if you give a package like that to a mother or whatever that has a couple of children, or if it's just a couple, or if it's an elderly person, what are they going to do with a package of 20 chicken legs, right? So this way we're able to be more appropriate in giving them what they can actually use. And a lot of folks, you know, I say a lot of folks, some folks have full-size refrigerators. Some of our clients that we serve only have like a dorm-size refrigerator. So they have very limited space. So that's kind of the deal with our protein.
Yeah, and I'm looking at pictures. Your website is redtruckministry.org, and there's a picture here of the red truck and it's with the shelving, and it's very efficient. It just looks very efficient with how you have everything almost like the grocery shelves.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it's like.
And shop.
Yep, that's pretty much what it's like. And then when they, you know, so once they get their groceries, then our volunteers will, you know, they engage with them, right? And, you know, a lot of times these people are come repeatedly, mm-hmm. right? They'll yeah. come every week or every couple of weeks or whatever. So we build a relationship with them, right? And they trust us because we're consistent. We're there every week. And, you know, they know that they can count on us. So we will, our volunteers will then say, you know, after they've engaged with them and they know a little bit about them, and they'll offer to pray with them. Ultimately, that it is a ministry. We, you know, we build, hopefully, our intent is to build authentic relationships with the people that we serve and to really let them know that we care about them. And so we will offer to pray with them and, you know, just stay in touch with them. So that's ultimately the goal, is to reengage them with a church or, you know, provide the plan of salvation.
You have a lot of volunteers. Do you need more?
So we can always use volunteers. Mm-hmm. There is, on our website, there is a link there. There's a button, a volunteer button, that if anyone wishes to volunteer that you can go to. You can go to a particular site. If you have a particular day that you're available, you can say, you know, I'm available on Wednesdays, and we'll say, okay, this is our site for that day. You can come to the site that day and help us distribute or set up or run the registration. Some of our volunteers are older, right, because they have time available, mm-hmm. right? And we love that, and they're so helpful. They would prefer to walk through with the clients and pray with them and engage with them, as opposed to sitting at the iPad and registering them. So if they have the ability to do technology, then they can help us out with running the registration. Mm-hmm. There's also, we have a warehouse, right, where we store everything. So we always need volunteers to help. We get like pallets of food. And so those pallets have to be broken down and then put into the crates that you see there on the website. And so that requires time and effort. There's always cleaning and things like that that needs to be done. So there's a variety of things that people can do, and we are always welcoming new volunteers to help us out, and especially with the new site that we're going to start going to in the spring, that would be very useful. Yeah,
that was going to be my next question. Do you guys take food donations? How does the food come in?
So we purchase the majority of our food from Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, and then I've already explained what we do with the protein,
right?
But we do have people. For instance, there is a lady that bakes fresh baked bread. And she delivers loaves of fresh baked bread to one of our sites every week. There is also a person that works at a grocery store, and she'll get, you know, like vegetables and fruit and things like that and bring them to a site. We are happy to take donations at a specific site if someone wants to bring it. If someone wants to come to the warehouse, we are happy to do that. Just get in touch with us and we will meet you there, because there's not always someone at the warehouse. And especially if someone has a large donation that they want to make. For instance, right now is apple season, right? So if there are any apple orchards out there listening to this, and if you would like to donate apples, for instance, then you know, that would be a pretty large item. So just get in touch with us and we can meet you at the warehouse. And yeah, we are happy to take donations of any kind.
Speaking with Faith Nixon, Red Truck Ministry, and it's one of the many organizations supported by Bank of the James. And Jimmy Davis is here too with Bank of the James. Talk about the poverty level. You mentioned that you know, people are struggling with the high cost of food, but how many people need food?
So I can't give you specific numbers, mm-hmm. but I can tell you the Lynchburg City itself has a poverty rate of 20.2%. Right.
So 1 in 5.
So if you compare that to, 1.5 times the Lynchburg metropolitan area. So Lynchburg City specifically has a very high poverty rate. And it is the rate for the state is 10.6%. So Lynchburg City is double the state poverty level. So there are, unfortunately, a lot of folks that need assistance and need help. And yeah, there are programs out there, you know, SNAP and all types of those things. People that come to us, of course, we have to get their name and the number of people in their household and that basic information. They don't have to be registered in any kind of government subsidy program, that none of their other resources are used to get this food. They get it free of charge. There is absolutely, it is, does not impact any other resources that they have available. And so when we first started, we received guidance from the USDA. And if a person will come to one of our sites once a week for 4 weeks, they should have enough food for 2 weeks. Because you got to understand, they're getting like 3 days worth of food. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're just getting a meal or 1 day's worth. They're getting like three to four
days.
They're
getting groceries.
They're getting groceries. They're getting their groceries. So that's pretty much.
Well, all. That's significant. I mean, you know, to get 2 weeks out of a month worth of groceries for free.
And then they can take their other resources and subsidize, you know, that and get the things that maybe we don't have, you know, their personal hygiene items or, you know, cleaning items or, you know, those other items. They can use those other resources for that type of thing.
And, you know, I think Lynchburg, you know, we have a number of organizations that help feed people that are hungry. But what I love about Red Truck is you go to them. They don't have
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You're it's basically like you have if you have would you say
six. So we are currently at six sites.
Yeah. So that's basically six food pantries.
Yes.
You know, in and around the Lynchburg area. It's
yes.
awesome.
Yeah.
Tell us about your new 5-year campaign.
So we have, like I stated, we are going to expand to another site next year. That we're definitely planning on doing that. Our goal for the following year is to add an additional site, and then that would be 2026, and then in 2027 add two sites. So hopefully our goal in the next 3 years is to be in or near all eight food deserts. And so we're hoping that, you know, we're going to be able to, one, do that financially, and then there's, you know, a whole host of other things that have to fall in place because we partner with churches, right? So the churches help supply the volunteers and the location. And so, you know, we have to find churches that will partner with us in those areas. So that's the plan. And then in our long-term plan, our 5-year plan is to either purchase or build a site of our own, a warehouse site of our own. That's a really lofty goal, but you know, God has provided so far. I think he'll provide that also.
Lots of opportunities for people to participate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Faith Nixon, Red Truck Ministry, redtruckministry.org. Thank you so much. And Jimmy Davis, Bank of the James, thank you so much for bringing Faith in today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us on today.
You guys have a great...
Great way to start the weekend.
It is. It is. Thanks so much for being here. Best of the Bird continues right after this.
More of the Best of the Bird.